Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, thank you for listening to another episode, episode 143 of blogtalkradio.com/philosophy, The Philosophy Show. My name is Thomas, your host. It is June 16th, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And welcome to another brain exercise. So are you ready to flex those muscles and get fit and work out your noggin? Today's episode is titled My Four Galactic Credits and 30 Minutes of Fame. So thinking outside of the box instead of my 2 cents and 15 minutes of fame. Now, if I only had 15 minutes of fame, I would want it to be for something worthwhile and good. And everything's, I guess, that I can share is subjective. But besides the overall thing of the golden rule, doing unto others as you'd want them to do unto you, and if everyone could be like that, then I suppose, you know, most of the problems would be solved or on their way of being solved. You know, there's nothing wrong with America that can't be fixed with what's right with America, right? So if I had to contribute like one main thing that would make it so where we lived in a golden rule. And what's a golden rule? Like, if you're playing a game, what would you want? You would want the game to be fair, where everyone had. Now, when you're playing a game, I mean, usually there's going to be winners and losers, but you at least want people to start the same. When you play Monopoly, you start with the same amounts. And then, you know, and in some games, I mean, the games that are successful are the ones that are popular, and they're popular because they're fair. Otherwise, why just watch, you know, someone who you know is going to win? And speaking of galactic credits, when you watch Star Wars, people have galactic credits. Now, some people might have more than others. And when you think of a future society, I wrote this article on TomHartmann.com, and you can look at the article. It's dated June 2nd. The title is Guaranteed Annual Income. You could just call it Galactic Credits, An Idea Whose Time Has Come. And I wonder if I Google that, if that will come right up. Let me try it right now, actually. Let's see. I'm going to just put that in there. And it came up on the fourth result. So you can find it, and it's in the Tom Hartmann forums. But I'm going to read it to you and want you to think about this. Now, I also, it's a long article, and I might make it into a little booklet. But I'm just going to read the main first part of it, which shouldn't take too long here. Add a frequently asked questions to it later. Well, I already have added 3 frequently asked questions, but I'm going to add more. So I'm just going to read the part before the frequently asked questions and talk about other stuff. So this is something I've researched. I've debated this. I've looked at as many arguments as I can so far to try to find a weakness, because it's not about my idea. It's about finding the truth. And I want to see if there's weaknesses, of course, because that makes the potential of making it stronger or a better idea. It almost seems too good to be true at first, surreal, but it is common sense. The guaranteed annual income. Who, what, when, where, why, how, consequences, what ifs, paradoxes, principles, brainstorms. Let's define and refine this and what it isn't also. The guaranteed annual income. The money supply is determined if you had a guaranteed annual income, which I, in my proposal here, the money supply would be determined by the population. Everyone gets around $15,000 per year in today's dollars. It would more so probably work better with a public banking system, kind of like what Abraham Lincoln, the greenbacks, but better. Also, money is created for specific projects when needed, like to support NASA, the military, government employees, which is fully accounted for and is allowable to a certain percentage of the entire amount and would need to be voted on to create more. You'd also have local public banks that can also create loans in addition. A guaranteed annual income will, and I'm going to list 10 things that it will do, it will reduce anxiety, stress, which is one of the biggest killers. It would cut hospital bills by reducing that stress and anxiety. Two, it would give everyone a more equal starting point. It would eliminate poverty. It would reduce red tape, completely eliminate taxes, Social Security, income tax, Medicare, and etc. Eliminate the need for a minimum wage, which in the long term will not compete well against automation. Perhaps maybe have a small sales tax, an import tax, and or some kind of inheritance tax to take some money out of the system when needed, if needed. Create an environment. Five, create an environment for more entrepreneurs and free them to focus more on their business. No more red tape, no more taxes, except maybe sales tax and minimum wage and stuff like that. Provide more time to spend with family, to get an education, to learn, invent, start one's own business, and more. To find the meaning of life. Isn't that what we're here for? Or one of the main reasons? Or allow people to vote with their dollars more fairly in the marketplace of ideas. Reward people who have good products and services and still allow people to become rich. It'll reduce corruption. It'll also reduce crime because it'll reduce poverty, for one thing. It'll be more efficient, fair, transparent, steady, and I believe currently inevitable for a logical, civilized society. It works from the bottom up instead of the top down. Now, let me list a couple things what the guaranteed annual income will not be. It will not guarantee results. It'll not be subject to unpredictable inflation, deflation, stagflation. It'll not remove banks. People can still start and own banks to invest other people's money, make loans, hold money, but instead of them creating money for us, we will do it for them. Likewise, I mean, they'll still be able to give loans, and they will need to earn our business more so. It'll not be forced. If people still want to barter or trade with commodities, they sure can. They can donate their portion or refuse it. We can coexist. Now, for who? So-called liberals, progressives, socialists may like this because it is the ultimate public option, which gets to the heart of the matter in the most basic way. It is fair and just, which might seem to be compassionate. The ones that don't like this might not, because they're more into control and making sure their interests get the money, or they like holding the power of a top-down system, nor haven't really thought about it rationally or much, or about it much at all. Now, so-called capitalist conservatives and libertarians might like this because it's more efficient, reducing red tape and taxes. It doesn't guarantee results. It does allow one to build capital, save, and compete, and is voluntary. The ones that don't like this might prefer monarchy or not like seeing a public option succeed, nor haven't really thought about it rationally or about it much at all. Independents should love this, and so should most everyone, at least about 99.9% of us. this is not a capitalist nor a socialist idea, or rather, it is both. It is an idea itself on its own, too. We are all different in ways, and also we are all alike in ways. Maybe some of us are more social, and some of us are more independent naturally. And maybe some of us are more introverted, and some more extroverted. And maybe we are all at different stages of development in our individual lives, also in different orders, and etc. Issues and arguments don't need name-calling, rather just to be defined on their own. The paradox is this is already happening. If you are connected, that is, and in a very uneven and inefficient way to the tune of trillions of dollars, whether it be bailouts or contracts or position of entitlements and power, there has been a lot of corruption, hoarding and stealing and bribing. This is not just a reset, but a way forward. And again, still allows winners and losers. However, in a fair game or a fairer game, this would not make people lazy, rather it uplift and free them. And it would be people's duty, per se, to vote in the marketplace of ideas and reward those who come up with them so they can reinvest in more good ideas. An argument, people will be paid to participate in the economy and to vote with their dollars or to start their own business or whatever. It also protects people who would lose their jobs because their services of collecting taxes and etc. might not be needed any longer. It would also solve some of the problems of money in politics when people are able to donate more equally, and with such a great idea, it should get people motivated to get involved. Now, Abraham Lincoln did scratch the surface of this, introducing the original greenback. The great economist Milton Friedman got close to this with the negative income tax. A town in Canada has already tried this successfully, and Switzerland was just voting on it recently. But who cares, really? No need to name drop to make an argument. When I picture a future society evolved to a very civilized place and has figured out how to coexist sustainably, this is it, a big part of it. Now, regarding a future that has evolved to a civilized place and has figured it out, quote-unquote, how to coexist freely, maturely, peacefully, with prosperity, and sustainably, they would also... And I'd list a couple things here, a few things that you would see in such a society. One, end the war on drugs and the war on life and people, individual choices who cause no harm to anyone else. Two, have a public bank to invest in the commons, which are voluntary public options like solar energy, the FDA, but not disallow what people choose to put in their bodies, but rather educate them and test things for safety. Fire departments, water, trash, education, health, etc., etc., etc. Those are public options, the commons, voluntary investments that pay for themselves, still freely allow individuals to pursue their ideas, like Nikola Tesla, as long as they don't hurt anyone else. Three, have a rank voting or score voting system. If you don't know about that, look up rank voting or score voting. A public election channel with fair debates, with equal time for all people on the ballots that were enabled to get enough signatures to be on the ballot, with fair rules to get on the ballot. Have more sunset rules for certain types of laws and vote on individual issues more so, instead of combining topics that don't directly relate. Four, have complete transparency of everything that's public. Five, allow people to freely own land and sustainably build on land and homestead and grow their own food and not be micromanaged or taxed property taxes. So if you're homeless right now, or if you're just anyone, if there's some land there that no one's using, you should be able to claim an acre per se. And if you use it sustainably and not polluting it, you should be able to have it. There's enough land. And if four people who are going to use it sustainably and not pollute it, I mean, what are one of our biggest expenses in life? It's our home. And if you could reduce that expense for a lot of people, that would be civilized. Six, pay reparations. If you had a public bank, you could do that. That would be right. That would be righteous. Seven, either completely get rid of patents and copyrights, or have them only stay in effect at the most 7 years, or have them last 7 years, but instead of needing to get permission to use them, rather be forced instead to give the inventor or creator 10% of all profits for 7 years. That way, there are still incentives, but now there are three incentives instead of just one, a win-win and win situation for the inventor, the marketer, and the consumer. And that's it. And I gave a bunch of references and links. Now, I did have a frequently asked questions I added because I posted this article in a forum and some people have asked some good questions and I'm going to add some more. Right now, I just have three. One, someone asked, I'd like to see the math. It won't replace what we currently need to fund and operate the government now, Social Security, Medicare, TSA, EPA, et cetera, even if you included a small sales tax, import, or inheritance tax. Now, my answer is this, and I put all the references in there. With the guaranteed annual income, we would eliminate Social Security, Medicare, and some other government spending. The funds for day-to-day operations of government will come from taxes. Besides funding via taxes, now three kinds of taxes, import taxes, a 10% inheritance tax, anything over $1 million, a 50%. Perhaps once you get to $1 billion, even more, in a 10% sales tax, and that's it. Money can also be created for specific extensive projects when needed, like, you know, putting a man on the moon or a woman on the moon, something like that, going to Mars. And which is fully accounted for and is allowable to a certain percentage of the entire amount and would need to be voted on to create more. The money supply would be determined by the population. Everyone gets around $15,000 per year in today's dollars. And I should clarify everyone over 18, which is approximately 234.5 million people. That equals out to about $3.5 trillion a year. Now, if you got rid of Social Security and Medicare, cut the military budget in half, and being conservative, I mean, just leaving everything else and maybe adding on a couple billion dollars, you would reduce government expenditures to $950 billion, from $3.8 trillion to $950 billion. Most of that $3.8 trillion that was in fiscal year 2015 was Social Security, Medicare, and the military, and the rest is $950 billion, about $850 billion, and I just for the sake of argument made it $950 billion. And so government spending is broken up into three categories currently: discretionary, which is about 29% of the total budget; interest on the debt, which if we had a public bank, we could get rid of and pay off. That's about 6% of the total budget. And then mandatory spending, which is 65% of the total budget. And I put all the math on here. You can look at the article. And I encourage you, I spent a lot of time putting this together. So a 10% sales tax would generate about $750 billion. A 10% import tax, about another $125 billion. And then that's about $875 billion out of the $950 billion, which is a high estimate I had, and the rest would be like inheritance tax. And so, yeah, you could totally do it. Now, the second question is, someone said, are you saying we do away with taxes and just print what we need? I could certainly point to a myriad of examples where such a policy led to runaway inflation. Someone else wrote, the guaranteed minimum income may be workable, but always relies on high tax rates, so we have to be honest. So here's my answer. I'm going to respond in two ways. One is to present a whole new premise, and two is to agree on the practical matter of reducing the money supply from time to time. And that's why we have the three sets of taxes. Some of those, and also we'll still have public options. So here's the answer. Side note, now consider how much money is in the current system already, quadrillions. But first, let's define money. Let's give a definition of money. One definition. Now, what is money? There are a few definitions because it serves more than one purpose. One main definition is that it is a percentage of what you have, spending power, to others. If there is a certain supply, let's say a quadrillion, and if you have 15,000 of that, which would be what you get per year with the guaranteed annual income, or we could come up with some other number, but let's just say it's that, then you have a certain percentage. Now, if the money supply goes up, then you have a lesser percentage. If the money supply goes down, then you have a higher percentage. What the guaranteed annual basic minimum income does is provide a fair system, integrity from the starting points, completely predictable by population too. As long as we start with the same amounts, then it doesn't matter what the supply is as much, as long as we maintain a certain percentage, which will be regulated by population and also by taking some money out of the system from time to time via import, inheritance, and sales taxes, and also voluntary public option service fees like the water department or energy, you know, whatever. It's a whole different concept than what we have currently, which is trickle-down economics. This would be trickle-up. It would trickle-up. I mean, and people will still be able to build capital and get rich, but they will be rewarded via the fair and more free market where everyone starts with an equal vote, per se, starting from a more fair place. There will still be winners and losers, but the game will be much more fair, so people won't be able to complain that the game was rigged. This will be a new era that realizes the principles of the Constitution. In other words, balance, for example, balance of power, an equal playing field, not results, rather fairness of we the people, with a public banking system and with other public options that are more transparent and accountable, alongside a very free, a fair and freer market. A good step closer in the pursuit of happiness. A new premise is what also is being proposed here in a fundamental way. Currently, money is created top down instead of bottom up. I could argue that we do vote in the system we currently have, and because of that, it is somewhat bottom up. But we know there are serious parts that are corrupt and need repair. Probably can agree on basic things that should be in the commons or the public, like the water company, the military, the justice system. I would argue that those being public options is common sense, that they are more efficient in the commons as public options, and that they have trust via accountability, transparency, and elected representation, and are more fair. The commons or public areas, options, and systems are reserved for special areas in life per se. So would not money be just as, if not arguably, the most important of them all, or at least tied with the most importance, to have a public option for it, a public banking system? It would more so probably work better with a public banking system, kind of like what Abraham Lincoln had with the greenbacks. Secondly, I think we probably should also take some money out of circulation from time to time. This can be done via taxes, import, inheritance, sales taxes mentioned before, and other public service options. Q is, how would we make this happen fairly and realistically? You have people who are going in retirement. They won't be able to afford medicine without Medicare and stuff like this. Now, we could still have a public option Medicare. Now, here's the argument. This is going to be a new beginning, a jubilee, a renaissance idea. Let's address how we get there. We can debate on how we get there. But if we agree on this, then we should agree on it. And let's see. I mean, we can either gradually, proportionately increase the minimum income while decreasing other programs, or, which I like better, is instead we could directly address the issues people will have and consider the benefits of an overall environment of the new situation. To directly address the issues people will have, you can first reduce living expenses. For the people who had Social Security and Medicare, maybe we could offer them free electricity up to a certain point and free water bills up to a certain point. In fact, everyone's electric bills can substantially go down with public investment for mass-scale solar in large open areas. And, you know, maybe you could provide food stamps for certain older people. But their main expenses probably would be medical. And I do believe in public options, which can benefit not only seniors, but everybody. We could offer students free college to be a doctor if they're willing to be a public doctor for as many years as they went to school. We could also purchase drugs in bulk and save costs. And many other supplies, get rid of patents and copyrights. We could buy a lot of things in bulk, build and invest in public, more public hospitals and clinics, publicly purchase medical equipment and charge low rates to use such equipment. We can reduce medical costs very much and let public services compete alongside private practitioners. I think the idea of medical insurance as we know it should be history, and we can get prices down a lot and have a public option Medicare, and it could, you know, be a lot better. Now, housing, we could create public retirement housing for people who need it with many senior services. I mean, completely voluntary with excellent architecture, designing with nature, having gardens in there, having pets and cats and dogs and animals and music and et cetera. So public options are there to provide a standard, something that are special things that we can agree on, that pay for themselves, because it'd be more costly not to have them. And I also mentioned some additional things before, like getting rid of copyrights and patents that would help the overall environment and invention. So if we can agree on a good system, an idea whose time has come per se, then we should agree on it. And then we can argue and find ways to get there. You know, there will be some foundational investments, maintenance, and expansion that will need to be done. And regarding passing Congress, yeah, I mean, one step at a time. I mean, we need to elect more independents, third parties, you know, real Democrats, real Republicans, get the word out there. And that's why I'm doing this article and having these frequently asked questions. And I'm going to add some more so that you can, you know, make the argument, prove the arguments, you know, and there's lots of other reforms to do in the meantime, like advocating rank voting and, you know, reforming the election system, in other words. But I do think it's an idea whose time will come. It is common sense. So thank you for listening this week. I'm going to add some more FAQs. Just Google guaranteed annual income, a time, an idea whose time has come. And you'll find under the Tom Hartman thing forums, and you'll see my username there, Libertarian Progressive, and that way, you know, you reach the right area. So that's my four galactic credits and my 30 minutes of fame here. So, all right. Well, we'll talk to you next week and do, you know, exercise our brains some more. So feel free to call in if you'd like. And always that call-in number is area code 646-929-1340. 644. That's area code 646-929-1344.
Clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew in